Amen. I don't know who they're calling. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is online. And he's a lot more powerful. Sometimes it doesn't always seem like that, though, does it? It's amazing how much our world, how much our country has changed in the last year. And it's shocking, to say the least. But you know, Jesus is still the same, still saving souls, lives are still being changed. At 1:30 this morning, Brother Tom Kane, our missionary friend, got up, put on a suit, live stream preached to a church in India. They rented a big screen TV, brought it in the auditorium. I watched part of it. And it's just a blessing to know what God's doing. All the years that he and Jerry Lynn have put in, they had about 700 people there this morning. And they had originally taught me about preaching. And I talked to Pastor Raju behind Tom's back and told him, I'm going to decline because I really think that Brother Kane ought to be the one that does it, because we don't know how many more of these special days he'll have for you. And I said, so let's manipulate it so that Brother Kane can do that. I had to define manipulate to Pastor Raju because English is a second language, and he and I don't always speak the same language, but he's a good man. I'm grateful for it. So pray for Tom and Jerry Lynn. And out of all the people I know in my life, I can tell you this, they're real. They're real. They walk with God. And they've been great friends to Tina and I through the years. And they love our church. And our church has tried to be a blessing to them. Well, let's finish up with the Great Pretender today, all right? Great Pretender, Mark chapter 14. Well, no, we're not preaching on how to have holy heartburn. We may do that next week. Every list that you come to in the Word of God that deals with Judas, calls him, defines him as the one who betrayed Christ. Amber, it's not doing it again today, so you'll have to click. Number one is where we want to be at. So you have Judas and his personality. You remember, as I talked to you a couple weeks ago about his name, and his parents named him, you know, the one who God praises, the one who blessed God. Boy, they had great hopes for him. They had no idea that he was going to turn his back on God. The greatest betrayal in history is written in the Word of God. And the idea that we want to get in our heads and our hearts today is this. Each and every one of us are capable of the same thing. We sell out Jesus regularly for little to nothing. And may we be followers of Christ in everything that we see and do. Judas, not only was he called by Christ, but he was chosen. And we talked about this last week, about the privileges, number two, of the disciple Judas. He was called by Jesus. He was trained by him. He was ordained by him. He was commissioned by him. He was confirmed by Jesus. He preached with the other disciples. He saw all the miracles. He heard Jesus pray. He watched Jesus raise the dead. Yet he still rejected Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And you say, how can that happen? It happens every day in the world in which we live. People hear about Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God confronts them and convicts them. Yet they turn their back on him and walk away from him. May we be people today that realize that we've had the privilege of hearing about Jesus Christ. I look across the room today, and I believe everyone in this room has had the privilege of personally accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's your testimony. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that privilege. I don't know where I would be if it were not for Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ changed the line of my family's history. My grandmother was saved, and she prayed that I would get saved. because I got saved, my parents got saved, and my children are saved, though I have one that acts like it's not. And in my grandchildren, I'm praying for them every day that whenever they get old enough, they'll come to know Christ as their Savior, and the next generation will know Jesus as their Savior too. Can I tell you something? That's a great legacy, not because of the Hobson name, but because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have the same privilege of knowing Jesus and what He's done in your family too. And all God's people said, amen. And I don't know about you, but it's a great privilege to know Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege to be here in church today. It's a great privilege to be in this place, in this time, because we have a world today that's struggling because they have no hope. Can I tell you today, Jesus is the hope. But Judas had a problem. Number three, Amber. Judas had a problem. He was confused. He didn't exactly know what Jesus was there for. Can I tell you, much of our world today has a problem. There are people today that are sitting in churches, they have a problem. They're confused about who Jesus is. Because a lot of their pastors will be great motivational speakers. And some of them may even use the name of Jesus once or twice. And they'll talk about it in a roundabout way. At the end of it, they'll say, well, if you'd like to know Jesus your Savior, raise your hand. And thousands of people across the country will raise their hand. And guess what? Thousands of them will walk out of their loss today, thinking in their heart, hey, I just got saved. Listen, my friend, if nothing has changed in your life, you didn't get saved. That's a problem that we see everywhere today. There's got to be a change. There's got to be something that's going on. Oh, you may still be doing some of the same things, but you know that you shouldn't be. Because the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, that's not right. Judas had a problem. He was confused, but he also was concerned about money. He coveted. And that got him into trouble. In the same passage where we're at, a young lady came and she anointed Jesus with that great perfume. And of course, Judas, the first time that he spoke in all of Scripture was about money. The first time. First time you hear from him. Over in John, I think it's John chapter 12, where he talks. The first time. And the words he uses, why was this waste made? Now, granted, the lady just dumped $35,000 worth of perfume on Jesus. That seems a little extravagant, doesn't it? But I'm going to challenge you with this thought today. Do not ever resist a generous impulse for God. We miss some blessings sometimes because we refuse the generous impulse of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have been blessed because you've done something that was kind of way out of your comfort zone, maybe in giving of your time or effort or money? How many of you have been blessed in that way? You've done that? Amen? How many of you sense that there have been times in your life you haven't been blessed because you didn't do it? Amen? I'm one of those too. There have been times that God has kind of moved in that area and I just disobeyed. But then Judas was condemned because of this. People look at Judas and they wonder how a man could do all of that. They see all that he saw, be so close to Jesus and yet be lost. Some people claim that Judas was lost and then he was saved, then he lost his salvation. That's not accurate. Salvation is eternal in nature and it cannot be taken away. You can't lose it, you can't give it away, and Jesus is not going to take it back. But that's not the issue here. Judas was never saved. He looked just like a saved person. I'm going to tell you something. We have people in our churches today that are like that. Can I use you as an example this morning, Jadon? Would you like to come up here on the platform and do that? Or do you want to sit right there in your seat? All right. Listen, during the COVID, Jatana realized that she was not saved. And she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And all God's people said, amen. I praise God for that. You know why? Because she could have very easily pushed that off. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that are sitting in our churches today that are lost. And they know it, but they're too prideful to go ahead and get that thing right. Amen? And you know what's shocking about that? is they're going to die and go to the same hell that Judas went to. And Jesus Christ has done everything in order for them to come to know Him as their Savior, yet they refuse. Judas had a problem, and he was condemned because of it. He was lost when he preached. He was lost when he cast out devils. He was lost when he healed the sick. He was lost when he died. He was lost when he woke up in hell. Lost. Let's read some verses today. Mark 14, verse number 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. By the way, this wasn't a momentary decision. He had been thinking about this for a while. He had been planning it. He had been working this around, how he could do it. It wasn't just like he woke up one day and thought, I got it, I'm a betrayer. No, he was looking for the opportunity to do it. And by the way, the chief priests were looking for somebody to come along. You say, why did all this have to happen? We'll go into that later on whenever they actually come and they arrest Jesus. One of the reasons why Judas had to kiss Jesus is, think about it. There were a bunch of men there, and all of them had basically the same haircut. All of them had the same beard. Basically, all of them wore the same clothes. And back in those days, there weren't any great outside lights. So somebody had to say, hey, that's Jesus Christ. It turns out Judas really didn't need to kiss him because Jesus came forth and said, I'm he. And if you read in the Gospels, all those men fell backwards. You know, that should have been an indication to them that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But sometimes people just don't realize. You can't base your relationship with Christ on what you do. Judas did all of those things, yet he was still lost. Amor, I think I've had this quote up somewhere. You can't base your relationship with Christ on what you do. It is not what you do that saves you. It is what Jesus has done in your heart that saves you. Now you'll work out because of that. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself. I'm sorry, but let me back up. I'm thinking chili, Brother Wendell. I'm sorry, all right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By the way, one of the things that we see about Judas is that there is a family resemblance. And that family resemblance will eventually come out. You say, what was the family resemblance? Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of. Eventually, an unsaved person will drop the facade and you'll see what they really are. And then they've got a choice. Are they going to betray Jesus? Are they going to deny Him? Or are they going to come to know Christ as their Savior? I said this last week. I basically close with this. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I do want to be honest with you. Because I believe that the only way that we can be changed is by being honest with ourselves and by being honest with God. Amen. If you're here today and you're not saved, then you're just like Judas. That's harsh, isn't it? But it's truth. Once again, if there's not something in you that's drawing you to God, if there's no change, then you need to be saved. You say, but I've been in church. I'm saying, I've taught Sunday school. That matters nothing. There must have been a time that you were born again. You say, why aren't you telling church people this? Because church people need to hear this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature, right? Old things. Behold, all things are passed away. All things have become new. Now, all of us fall into a rut. All of us get backslidden at different times. But we know it. We know it. I remember talking to a young lady a couple of years ago. She was away from God. And I remember talking to her after she came back to God, got her life right, and all things. I asked her, I said, tell me what went on in your heart and your life and your mind whenever you were in the place that you were in. She said, oh, I knew all along I shouldn't have been there. I knew all along that this wasn't the place for a Christian. She said, with every drink that I took, everything that I did, I knew that's not what a Christian should be doing. She said, but at the same time, there was something that was whispering in my heart and my mind that said, you've gone too far, you can never come back. Can I tell you who that is? That's the devil whispering in the ear, amen? But she said, I knew constantly that's not where I should have been. You know what? We've got friends and loved ones that are just like that today. And our hope and prayer is they hear that wooing and calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Judas had a problem, but Judas had a plan. Number four. Judas had a plan. That was all introduction. Now we're ready. Judas had a plan. It involved betrayal. Here, turn with me in your Bibles. It's just us today. To Mark 26. Go back just a couple pages. Mark 26. After being rebuked. Now here's what happened. The young lady poured the perfume on the Lord Jesus Christ. She anointed him for his burial. And Judas spoke up and Jesus basically told him. He said, whoa, whoa. What she's done is important. It's not a waste. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest. In verse number 14 of Matthew 26. And said unto them, here it is, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he saw opportunity to betray him. You know how much 30 pieces of silver is in 2021? Now, I looked this up 2 weeks ago, so inflation has really gone a long way since then, all right? But 2 weeks ago, 30 pieces of silver was worth $200, give or take. You know what 30 pieces of silver is spoken of in the Old Testament? It was the price of a slave. It was nothing. By the way, Judas betrayed Jesus for less than $200 in today's money. Doesn't seem like a lie. It isn't. But people sell him out today for a lot less. Young people betray Jesus Christ for a few moments of pleasure with a boyfriend or girlfriend. People betray him by choosing their way of living over his way of living. Others betray him because they get their feelings hurt over this or that. Some betray him for alcohol, some for drugs, some for sex, some for otherworldly pleasures. For about $200. There's not a person in this room today that's been saved for any length of time that is not backslidden. And every one of us that are backslidden, if we look at it, we say, I sold him out for next to nothing. I betrayed the one that saved me for a few baubles of what the world offers. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? He had a plan. It involved betrayal, but it also involved blasphemy. Go with me to John chapter 13. John 13. What time is it? We still got 17 minutes. Good. John 13. John 13. John 13, verse number 1. I want you to see this today. Jesus reached out at every opportunity to Judas. He knew he was unsaved. Verse number 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world, unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. By the way, the devil can't put anything in your heart and take control of you unless you allow him. You had a choice. You and I got a choice every day. Either we say yes to Jesus or we say yes to the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he's come from God and went to God, notice this, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Here's what was going on. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. That included Judas. I wonder how Judas felt looking and seeing Jesus Christ washing his feet. Jesus was teaching them a much needed lesson in humility, but get this now. Normally, a slave wash feet. You know what Jesus was telling Judas? I know what you've done. Judas, knowing what he was going to do, sat there totally unmoved by the Lord's act of love. Even Peter said, no, Lord, you're not going to do this. Jesus said, I must. And then, verse number 10 of John 13. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Notice this, and you're clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. Judas had a plan. It involved betrayal. It involved blasphemy. Verse number 26 of John 13. Jesus answered. By the way, Jesus told him, he said, somebody's going to betray him. You know what all the disciples said? Is it me? Is it me? Those men knew what was inside of them. By the way, we need to know what's inside of us too. I got an idea that around the table, the only one that didn't say, is it me, is Judas. Then Jesus answered, verse 26, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. The sop was a piece of bread, and he dipped it basically in jelly, and it was a great honor for you to receive that from the host of the table. Verse 27, and after the sop, after Judas, I don't know if he ate it or if he took it. I don't know how that played out, but can you imagine? Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. That's an interesting verse. Judas had always been a child of the devil. But now he's completely taken over. Every thought, every deed, every action. Now is carefully choreographed by Satan. Could Judas have gotten saved this night whenever Jesus was washing his feet? Absolutely. But this is his last point. I don't know when people's last point is, but it's evident from the Word of God that there's a point that people pass where they no longer feel under conviction. It's not that they're no longer drawn by the love of God. They just no longer care. Judas leaves, makes a deal, finishes. Jesus and the men walk out. They sing together. It's the only place in Scripture that says that Jesus sang. But he sang with the men. They go down to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where Jesus got alone and prayed. And in the middle of the night, a group of soldiers came, armed, ready for battle. Judas came to Jesus. The Bible says, as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. The verb kiss there in the original language indicates that he kissed him more than once. A great show of affection. That night, Judas blasphemed the Passover, blasphemed the Son of God. He blasphemed the Lamb of God. He was guilty of the greatest act of blasphemy that we've ever witnessed. And then number five, Judas and his punishment. Go back with me to, now I think we've got a, you got a screen with it on it. Let's do that instead. Yeah, that's it. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? What do we care? See thou to that. Judas cast the money back in. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and he went and hanged himself. I get asked this often, especially by young people. Suicide is a big deal right now in our culture. And if you ever hear of a young person talking about suicide at all, don't hesitate. You've got to intervene. You've got to say something. You young people that are here today, if you have a friend of yours that talks about it, don't brush it off. Because it's something that's happening a lot. I have a friend of mine that I know from taking our children to camp. He has moved on in ministry, but he used to work at a certain church and they had children. They'd pick up on a van route, and one of the young ladies that just left and her family moved to a new area about a year ago, she committed suicide Friday night. But I get asked this question a lot. Well, if a person commits suicide, does that make them unsaved? No, that just makes them choose bad things. A Christian can commit suicide just like an unsaved person. Say, how? I don't know. Maybe they get far enough away from God. They quit responding to His love and His hope and His grace. And they think that the only thing they can do is end it all. The devil whispers in their ear, you're not worth anything. We have a cross hanging up behind me. You know why we keep that cross up there? You know what that cross screams out to all of us? You're worth something to Him. In fact, you're worth everything to God. Judas went out and hung himself. He died. He saw that he could not fix what he had done. Matter of fact, he couldn't even do suicide right. Apparently from the book of Acts, the limb broke and he fell off a cliff. He died. But the Bible says he went to his own place. There's only one or two places that we go when we die. Jesus said to disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, that's good news. Amen. Amber, put the next slide up there. I think it's Matthew 25:41. If it's not, roll down to it. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Notice, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell's not made for man. It was not intended for man to go. But men choose to go to hell. Every lost sinner, every religious hypocrite, every false disciple will go to hell when they die. It doesn't matter if you've been a church member of an independent Baptist church most all of your life. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and go to hell, and there will be many tears. Not just on your part, but on those loved ones' part. If you miss Jesus, hell is where you'll spend eternity. All the way move to the last slide, Emmer. Because here's the question. Am I a great pretender? Can I tell you something? I am. Not in the issue of salvation. I know for sure that I'm saved. I can tell you all about it. I know in my heart. I've taken the Word of God by faith. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a great pretender sometimes. And I think all of us are sometimes. If there's any place that we ought not to pretend, it ought to be in our relationship with God. Jesus bent over and washed those disciples' feet, and he knew exactly what was going on in Judas's heart and his life. Yet you know what he was saying? "I'm here for you, Judas. I'm here." No matter where you're at in your relationship with God, let's quit pretending. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is saying, "I'm here for you. I know what you're struggling with, but I'm here for you." If you're not saved, come to Him today. If you are, why don't we rejoice in that? Why don't we ask Him, "Is there something in my life that I'm pretending about?" Oh, we may put things on Facebook and act like we're the most spiritual person in all the world. Amen. But God knows. So do we, by the way. You want to be miserable as a Christian? You ready for this? Just pretend. Just act like you're something that you're not. Well, you say, "Well, preacher, I don't ever do that. I let people know exactly what I am." Well, maybe you ought not change be like that either, amen. Maybe it's time for us just to become more Christ-like. Oh, I cannot say it enough. I cannot plead with you enough. If you don't know Jesus, your Savior, don't wait too long. There are going to be church members in hell, just like there are going to be child pornographers in hell. It's not based on what you do. It's based on what Jesus has done for you. Don't pretend and go to hell. Christian, don't pretend and miss the greatest life that you can ever have by walking with God. How's that for motivation? Heads bowed, eyes closed.